This is Isoca's Page 2 Podcast.
You're listening to an Isoca podcast. I'm your host, Safia Kazi, Isoca's Privacy Professional Practices Associate. On today's episode, I'm speaking with Ulf Mattsson, the Chief Security Strategist for Protegrity. Ulf has joined me today to discuss his recent paper titled Privacy Preserving Analytics and Secure Multi-Party Computation. Thanks for chatting with me today, Ulf.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So to get us started, what are some of the unique privacy considerations on the data analytics front?
Oh, yeah. It's heating up in many different industries. And organizations want to utilize the data, learn about their customers, and find new business opportunities. But you know, it involves more and more sensitive data, private data. So it's important to secure that data when you are doing your own analytics and machine learning, and when you are sharing that information with partners and sometimes with competitors.
And so what are some of the major limitations in effectiveness of encrypting data at rest?
Most organizations, they want to do business. And security and privacy come second. So they want their business processes to function. They want maximum transparency. They don't want to change their applications and databases. So the hard part is to find the right techniques, data protection techniques, that can achieve those goals.
And how much do secure data sharing needs vary by industry?
I see that the financial industry is leading. They have, for example, fraud analysis and know your customer, so they understand who they are dealing with, who they are paying, who they are partnering with. So that is a major area at the leading edge. You have healthcare that is analyzing different type of healthcare data. Also, a lot of sensitive data, privacy data that need to be protected. And they use that to develop new drugs, to help with treatment of patients, and other very important aspects.
And what are some of the benefits of multi-party computation?
It gives you the benefit to share data without sacrificing data security and data privacy. So you can utilize the data you have. You can share it in your network without being concerned about compliance, privacy issues, and other security concerns.
And what type of scenarios are well suited to incorporate differential privacy?
Differential privacy is something that large tech companies like Apple and Google and others are using to minimize the privacy risk. So they are using that technique to wash out private data. So when they get more and more detailed transactions about individuals, they can start to aggregate data and take away the records that are identifying individuals and still be able to provide the data quality they need for their analytics.
And how can organizations go about striking the right balance between performance, privacy, and functionality for searchable encryption?
When you have more and more data in different environments, You need to be able to search that data. And when more data is being protected, encrypted, tokenized, and protected in different ways, it's getting harder to search for the data. So this is a new field where you can enable search also on protected data and understand what you have, your data discovery across all your different data assets, also protected data.
And what is fuzzy keyword search and why is it important?
There are different ways to search for data. The most popular ones are that you are searching for a keyword or maybe part of a keyword. You want to search for records, names that start with a couple of characters. You want to search something that ends with a certain string of characters. So you want to be flexible in finding the keywords or part of the keywords that you are looking for.
And how has accelerated use of the cloud during the pandemic changed the overall outlook for data privacy and data protection?
It's a major change. And it's resulted in data being shared across more environments. You know, traditionally we had the on-premises environments where the organization is controlling that environment and also controlling your laptops. To that, we are seeing more and more data is being stored and processed in cloud. And you have a shared responsibility. The organization can set up contracts exactly who is responsible for what. When it comes to data, there is no shared responsibility. You collected the data. You are responsible for the data. You are liable for the data. You need to make sure it's protected. So that is tied still to the user or the subject that collected that information. And now the landscape is changing. We are seeing more people working remotely. So we are seeing that the use of, sometimes we call it shadow IT. That is cloud solutions that are not known or vetted by your corporate entity. So more and more data is stored in these environments, and it could be e-health, a healthcare diagnostic application that is storing very sensitive information in a cloud that is basically a shadow IT outside the control of the corporate IT. And also when people are working remotely to a certain increasing extent, sensitive data is being stored locally in the home office. So you have a much broader attack surface or data surface that you need to consider. And the bottom line is that organizations are losing control since more data is out of their control. And of course, the risk is increasing by having that situation.
Yeah, so to that last point, organizations are increasingly concerned about data privacy. However, new techniques make it possible to securely share data and protect the privacy of individuals. Can these new techniques allow searches on encrypted data in data lakes and the cloud?
Yeah, that's the promise here. And it is proven to be possible to find the right balance. So when you have different types of data, you can apply different type of data protection techniques. And those techniques can be different for different use cases. Sometimes you need to do analytics. In other cases, you need to perform operational transactions on that. And other use cases are sharing of data. So for these different use cases, these different data, you need to be educated about the options you have. And we saw from a recent study by ISC Square about what are the barriers for protecting data. And they are illustrating very clearly that there's a lack of, the top issues are lack of skills and awareness about how you can protect data. And it's not a lack of budget. They clearly show that the budget is there. They also show that management, executives, need to have a buy-in, and that is lacking. So it comes to awareness and skills and education, educating both the executives and people that work with these different tools, also users, about what can actually be done. And the issue is that current tools are not finding the threats, and it's so much data to go and analyze for threats. And also the current tools are giving too many false positives. So you have a situation where you need to look for approaches that are more effective. And one avenue that is very strategic here is to protect the data and educate your organization and executives about what can actually be done.
And so can this be done in a way that doesn't compromise data privacy while still preserving the data's analytical quality?
Yes, you have a range of different techniques to protect data. That can be curating your current business data. So you anonymize data attributes so they become noisy or less granular. Aggregate and you provide less precision, and you can do that in ways that are not disrupting the quality of your analytics. And you can also start to apply fake data, or we should call it synthetic data. And synthetic data can mix these protected business data with synthetically, artificially generated data. And there are ways to measure how much you can reduce your risk level and how much data quality in your analytics you can provide by choosing that balance between non-protected data and protected data.
So a lot of commonly implemented solutions don't provide strong protection from data theft and privacy disclosures. Is encrypting data at rest not sufficient to avoid data breaches?
You know, the issue is that when you are applying an easy way of just encrypting files or encrypting data volumes, the issue is that when the data comes alive and comes up to the application and database layers and to the users, all that data is exposed. All data is in clear text. So attackers are going after these layers and look for system layers, attacking system layers, where the data is exposed and no longer encrypted. So you need to take a more granular data encryption approach, where you say that different types of data should be protected with different protection techniques. So wherever the attacker is hitting your data, you know that the most sensitive data fields are protected.
And how are different industries already starting to take advantage of some new privacy-preserving techniques?
We're seeing that, again, the financial industry is leading. They have a long tradition of security and compliance to regulations. And they are leading the way of utilizing different protection, different new protection techniques that will find that balance between utility to still be able to run the business and find new opportunities. And on the other side, be compliant to the increasing range of data privacy regulations and also the threat landscape to address the increasing threat. So I would say the financial industry is leading here. Healthcare is coming. The need is great. The maturity in this area in the healthcare sector is lower, but they are definitely trying to catch up.
And then why are these new privacy-preserving computing approaches needed?
I think it comes down to trust. If individuals, users cannot trust the provider or who they are giving the data to, they will not be willing to share data. So we will not be able to have this rich data that is important for healthcare, for all kind of analytics in different industries, financial industries, for address fraud issues. So we still need to have people trusting the entity that they are sharing the data with. And also you have compliance requirements. More and more states in United States are starting to enforce very strict privacy regulations, similar to the European GDPR. The core of GDPR is that you as a user should have control of the data, how it's protected, how it's shared. And we are seeing GDPR also spreading across the world as the gold standard for data privacy. So those are strong driving forces for data protection.
And finally, is there anything else on this topic that you'd like to mention?
I think that it's very important to look at the ISC Square study and understand that the current tools in finding threats and attacks are not sufficient. Too many false negatives. There is budget to invest in security, but there's a lack of awareness, a lack of skills. And we need to educate those people that are dealing with data protection, and also to educate executives, board level, to actually endorse this and provide the budgets for these very important projects. And there are simple ways to start on a journey for better data protection. You of course need to do your data discovery and find your data. And you can take a small, easy first step of creating a policy. What data should be protected? That data, sensitive data that you found. How should it be protected? And start easy by just masking the data that you are giving to different users. So you have a protection level of not giving them more data than they need. Then you can go deeper and you can protect data, sensitive data, with these different protection techniques, with different types of encryption, tokenization. And there are mature solutions that can give you this more granular level of protection. And you need that protection to prevent data from being leaked by ransomware, leaked by mistakes, and other misconfigurations. So there's a roadmap to take small, easy step to get you to a more mature security posture.
Well, that's all we have time for this segment. Ulf, it was great chatting with you. Thank you again for your time today. I am Safiya Kazi, and this is an ISOCA podcast.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Page to Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode.